3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the No Normal Show, brought to you by BPD, a marketing services firm that delivers the future to healthcare's leading brands. This show is where we leave all things status quo, traditional, old school, and boring in the dust. And instead, we celebrate the new, the powerful, the innovative, the bold, all focused around the future of healthcare marketing and communications. Hello, I am Stephanie Riebel, EVP of Engagement here at BPD, and I'm joined by Chris Bevelo today. Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm good, Stephanie. I'm really happy that it's Friday. I'm happy that it's Friday. Yay, Friday. Let's go.
What are you, any big weekend plans as you head into the weekend?
No big plans. No, I don't think we have big plans, but we have plans. We have some plans, fun plans, but nothing big.
That's the perfect weekend to share. That's the ideal scenario, if you ask me.
I agree. How about you? Wait, do you have anything?
Haven't even thought about it yet. I feel like at 1 p.m. at Central Time Friday is when I first realize I need to start thinking about the weekend.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll have to explore that at some other point.
Okay.
But
so I'll give a quick rundown of what we're chatting about today. We have a couple headlines to cover. Actually, one headline that we're really excited about. We're going to talk about Reddit and their first healthcare summit and what that means for marketers. And then our main topic today is all about what the future could look like in an AI world. We've been hitting on AI a lot. We've been hitting on our platform that we've launched around this whole idea of the AI dream, the Einstein divide, what it means to think big and bold. And so today we're going to kind of move into that future world and break it down for you all. Before we do it, a couple quick little plugs and housekeeping items. Next month, the No Normal Show is coming to Health, the conference in Las Vegas, HLTH, and we are super excited about hitting the ground floor, interviewing people live, talking about all the biggest topics in health and healthcare. And so that's everything from workforce realities to the rise of AI to new interests in the space, all the things that happen at Health. So if you are going to be there and you want to chat with us, reach out to us at info@bpdhealthcare.com or hit up Chris and I on LinkedIn. And we can interview you and make that happen. We're also headed to Shushmid. So, Chris, maybe if you want to talk about this, because I'm pretty sure you're headed there and you've got a really good group of folks that you're going to be sitting down with.
Yeah, a couple things. We have a panel session on Rome is Burning, which I think most people who listen to the show are familiar with. Vic Rice from UNC Healthcare, Matt Goh from QuickMD, and Tanya Andriadis from the University of Miami. So stellar panel. We're going to dive probably more into the opportunities, things that we've talked about here in the show quite a bit. And then we're also doing a sunrise breakfast session. I think it's at like 4:30 in the morning. I'm not sure. It's not then, but it's early. And we're going to talk about a new paper that we're finalizing that kind of outlines a huge opportunity for health systems that are going through M&A activity to save millions in EBITDA. Yes, you heard that right. Millions in EBITDA. It's not an accounting trick. It's not a sleight of hand. It's a real thing that happens outside healthcare, but for reasons that we will talk about once we release the paper and at this sunrise session. Doesn't happen in the healthcare space, and it's a huge missed opportunity. So how's that for a tease?
That's a pretty big
promise. The courage to save millions.
I love it.
It is, but it's a true story.
Join us at sunrise and also save millions. I like it.
Yes.
Okay. Another big event that we have coming up is the Joe Public Retreat. We love this event. It happens just about every year here at BPD, and it's one that's really looked forward to by folks in the space. And so this year, i.e. next year, 2026, in February, the topic is the AI dream. We're going to bring everybody into the lab together, if you will, and we're going to concept the biggest, boldest ideas and ways to use AI in your MarCom function. So today's main topic will actually be a little bit of a teaser for that, because Chris and I are going to get into what some of those big, bold ideas could actually be, what they could look like. But join us on February 18th through 20th in South Beach in Miami, and we will get to work together. It's going to be great.
Yes.
And then lastly, we have a blog that we've recently shared at bpdhealthcare.com called The Einstein Divide. This is related to the topic we're covering today and the topic we covered, I think, 2 episodes ago. Which is all about breaking down how to think differently, how to think more bold, how to come up with these Einstein level ideas that you can use for your MarCom function leveraging AI. So go find that at bpthealthcare.com. And with that, I think that rounds up our quick little plugs for the day. Before we get into our headlines, Chris, we were just chatting about this weekend plans, but actually I think last weekend there were some really interesting things happening in pop culture. Didn't you? I believe you watched the Emmys.
I did. I don't often watch these shows from beginning to end. And I didn't quite see the beginning of it. So I missed I just caught the end of the first award, which was Seth Rogen. I think it was best actor in a comedy. But yeah, watched the whole thing. Thought it was amazing. There's one thing that we're a little bit behind the zeitgeist in talking about all this, but so what? There's one thing that I will say was a complete fail, but I loved the show and I thought I was so happy with the winners.
Aww.
Go Adolescence, go Andor. What else was I excited about?
The studio,
go
right?
Tramiel. The studio, like we said before, the studio I thought should win. It was super funny.
Yep.
And Tramiel, I said if Tramiel doesn't win, then I don't think I'll ever watch again. And he won for Severance. So I was really happy with the outcome. That has a lot to do with how I feel about it, I think.
I feel like if you took bets on predicted the winners, you would do a really good job. You seem to have always a really good pulse on what's going to win and what's going to do well.
Maybe. I did not think The Pitt would win. I was pleasantly surprised. I actually thought it might be, I don't know what else it was. I was hoping for Andor because I just think that's an amazing show. There was another one that I thought, Adolescence, actually, I thought would win. No, that's a different category. Anyway, Pitt's amazing. It deserved it. And Noah Wiley deserved it. So Okay. Kudos to that show. Also, like the woman who plays the chief nurse, who I don't know her name, of the ER, she also won. So it was great. The thing that was a fail, as everybody knows by now, is they tried to do something to incent people to stay within their time limit with their acceptance speeches. And so they put up like $100,000 that would go to the Boys and Girls Club if people stayed within. But for every second they went over, or every minute, I can't remember how it went, that it would reduce the amount. So as the show went on, the amount kept getting lower and lower. And you're like, this seems really depressing. And Nate Bargatze, whatever, the host, was trying to have fun with it. Like, John Oliver just cost Boys and Girls, like, a show like Adolescence, that's really sad that it just took money from teens. But so he had a little fun with it, but it was just kind of like weird. And then at the end, of course, they ended up giving the money because it was a negative territory because people had gone over. So it really didn't work in any way that you could imagine, in any way. So it was just more of a weird distraction that made you feel sad when you saw the money go down. It's like, what are we doing here? Yeah.
I feel like that's the kind of thing that sounds great, like a great idea in advance. And then when it's happening, it's like a slow motion, like train off the track situation. But anyway.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
Oh, well. All right. Well, I did not watch the Emmys this year. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to. So I caught some clips. But there was something else that caught our attention, I think, beyond the Emmys. I think it was like the next day there was this really wild clip that went viral. A UFO that was hit by a missile and it bounced off. Chris, do you have any conspiracy theories? I don't know if anyone out there listening saw that. It was almost like buried down the headlines. But I'm very curious of your takes on this moment.
It was buried because it happened when some other really big news stories, which we won't get into, happened, I think, the same day. And it didn't happen right then. It was just the video was shared in a congressional committee hearing along with others. And the video shows this thing, like we've seen other videos of these things, these kind of spherical objects. If you're a fan of Raising Arizona, you'll know that reference. And they fly at an amazing speed and then go up and down and all these kind of weird things. And this is a drone footage that's tracking this thing. And another drone from off camera shoots a Hellfire missile at it, which should destroy it or at least make the missile explode. And instead what happens is it hits the thing and the missile kind of goes off track, but keeps going, doesn't explode. And the thing has like three little parts break off, but the three little parts that break off kind of track with the original thing and then eventually come back into it. So it's super weird. And there's, nobody has an explanation for it. That's what makes it weird. So whether it's an alien, whether it's somebody's technology, like from around the world that we're just not familiar with. I will admit to one thing, though. I would love your take on this, Stephanie, because I don't know where you're at with UFOs. I can't believe we're alone in this universe. So I think that's ridiculous. Whether we're being visited by UFOs, I don't know. But sometimes I see that and I'm like, gosh, I hope it is a UFO. Because maybe these are like greater beings that will come in and set the world straight.
Uh-huh.
And we'll just like save the day. I'm not worried about them destroying mankind. I'm more hopeful that they'll be like, all right, I don't know what y'all are doing down here, but this is a mess. And here's how you fix it. That's a sad statement. But sometimes that flashes through my eye. Maybe it is. Maybe it is a UFO.
Yeah, I have more than a flash on that. That's my strong belief, Chris. It's funny, we didn't actually sync on this in advance, but yeah, we're in the same place here. And some of the team was at a happy hour last night and we chatted about this. Mari, our show's producer, who's listening, had a similar take. So I think we are all on the same page that yes, there is more advanced life out there than us and we're not the only ones. And instead of shooting at UFOs, can we go be friends with them? Like, that sounds great.
It is weird that we shot a Hellfire missile at it. Also, there are theories, conspiracy theories, that this isn't necessarily somebody from millions of miles away, but somebody from a different dimension.
Ooh.
Right? They can travel back and forth in time. So they've come from the future to do things. And I don't know. It's all kind of fun
to think about.
But the footage is that keeps coming out more and more is, you know, the professionals just are like, we don't have any explanation for it.
Yeah.
Like, how in the world did this thing survive a hit by Hellfire missile, keep going? What's with the three things that broke off and then rejoined it? Why didn't the Hellfire missile explode? Why did it, like, bounce off? That doesn't make any sense, I guess, for a Hellfire missile. So anyway, it's a good distraction. Mm-hmm. But I think when that congressional hearing hit, it was, like, number 17 on the list of things going on in the world that day. So it got swallowed by what seems like a regular occurrence.
Yeah.
Like massive headlines that in the like 15, 20 years ago would have been the dominant story for a week or a month are now like, oh, it's 2:00. So here's another one.
Right, right.
But anyway, we digress.
Okay. Well, we're giving airtime to it then because, you know, I think UFOs is a great little rabbit hole to go down every once in a while and escape from reality and say, what if? All right,
yes.
We'll move it now into the healthcare realm. So there was a healthcare summit by Reddit, and it was the first one that they've ever had, which is really exciting because Reddit, of course, is a platform where people talk a lot about health, and they're sharing all kinds of things about healthcare, and they're jumping in there and sharing symptoms and issues and asking questions and having conversations and talking about rare diseases. And it's a space where I've heard recently a lot of healthcare brands, especially health systems, are asking, how do we get more involved in Reddit? What do we do about this, given the fact that Reddit is now sourced often by AI and it's, you know, pulled into AI conversations? It's really important for SEO. So really cool to see Reddit, you know, publicly leaning into healthcare. I have a lot that I'm excited about on this, but I want to hear, Chris, what was your thought as you saw this?
Well, as a representative of the olds, I will say that I have never spent time in Reddit. I know of Reddit, but what I know of Reddit is it's kind of like the Wild West of the internet. So it's probably not a fair perception. Maybe it's where it started. Maybe it still has that component. My kids, though, all of whom are in their early to mid-20s, are completely versed in Reddit. I've spent a lot of time in Reddit, often cite Reddit, which I used to just dismiss because I used to think it's the crazy corner, like I said. But I'm the last person in the world that should be, well, maybe not the last person, but among the last people who should have an opinion on Reddit, given my complete lack of experience with it and my old perspective of what it was and maybe not understanding what it is today. So
okay. There you go.
I'm okay. Of no help whatsoever.
So yeah, Reddit did start off as a little bit of the Wild West. It does still have a tiny bit of that component. It certainly has lots of snark. There's subreddits that I follow intentionally for snark, like just literally like people just jumping in and saying very, very, very snarky things about things. And I follow those.
Can you name one? Can you name a subreddit?
Yeah.
Is
a snarky one? I don't want to name a snarky one. I'm going to name. So like I just went on a cruise, right? 3 months ago, Royal Caribbean cruise. And there's a subreddit focused on Royal Caribbean. It's really fun to watch that and see, even if you're not on a Royal Caribbean cruise, people are asking very, very, very detailed questions, which is perfect for what I like, which is like, hey, if I'm in this exact room, can you tell me where the outlet is, like before I travel, like things like that. And you can just crowdsource anything. So there's a lot of brand conversations. There's a lot of, you know, any topic you want, any healthcare topic you want. If you have an issue, I go on there all the time to diagnose myself. I shouldn't admit that, but I do, because it's real people having real conversations.
So, I mean, you shouldn't not admit it, because that's what a lot of people do.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to admit that you daily follow the subreddit of grocery cart justice. That's the kind of thing you
probably
wouldn't want
to admit.
Never
going to live that down.
But no, you're not. But go on, like, explain. So the idea that they even have a summit was bizarre to me.
Yeah.
That's just weird to me.
Really?
So
why?
Kind of talk, well, just because it doesn't seem like it's an actual website with like a central driving force behind it. More, it's just like it's a forum of, it's a million forums on a million topics. So the idea that they would have some kind of organized event is just, again, counter to my old person view of what Reddit is. So I need to be educated here.
Remember, they went public, when was it, 2024? And that's when a lot of things changed. Leading up to their IPO, Reddit really got their corporate act together. And they really went, you know, they did clean up a lot of the deep dark web discussion that was on there, if you will, right? They cleaned up some of that. They really leaned into advertisers. They gave a lot of new advertising opportunities because they have to monetize, of course. So Reddit has really become one of the, I would say, mass social channels. And there's so many ad opportunities. In fact, you can even, in the same targeting that you use on Meta, you can even share on Reddit. You can share some of the same content. Like, it's really sophisticated now from an advertising standpoint. And what they're trying to do is encourage brands to jump into conversations where it makes sense. Brands are more welcome now on Reddit than they were 5 years ago. So if a brand were to see somebody is asking a question, they could jump into that conversation and answer questions, bring it offline, handle issues, all of that. Much more corporate after the IPO.
Oh, is that a good or bad thing?
I mean, from a marketer's perspective, it's great.
From a user perspective, that's you.
As a user, I still really enjoyed and get a lot out of it. That hasn't changed for me. And in fact, I think some of the cleanup has been really helpful. But I don't know. That's me, N of one.
Well, I will say the only time I encounter Reddit is when I'm searching for an answer for something. Like the other day, I was trying to figure out how to, like, I don't know if it was like setting up my Samsung TV, or there was some piece of appliance or electronics that I needed to get like an answer to. And when I Googled it, the first answer was Reddit, and I always just ignore it.
Oh.
Because I'm like, that's just some like Hank Frank from Albuquerque who's got an opinion on this thing. Like, why? It's not helpful to me. Mm-hmm. So I will now give Reddit another chance.
Okay.
I will maybe explore it a little bit, and I will not just immediately dismiss anything that pops up in my Google searches from Reddit, because perhaps I could learn something.
Yeah, and also it's just fun to watch. Sometimes I just watch it for the pure entertainment value. So
watch it. What are you watching? I thought it was all just like a
snarky conversations.
Oh, okay. Not like video watching.
No.
Okay.
All right. So that's
see
the homework.
How,
report
see how,
back.
See how old and terrible I am? Like, watch it. What do you mean?
Comment thread.
I've got a video. How do I get the video on Reddit to work?
It's, you know how the best content is in the comments on Instagram and TikTok, right? We all break a hip running to the comments. That's Reddit. You can just live there. You just live in the wild comment section. So that's my summary. Okay, we'll move on. So our main topic today, it's a follow-up from 2 episodes ago where we broke down what we call the Einstein divide, or Einstein versus Edison thinking. So a quick little recap. We talked a lot about how everyone's talking about AI. Like, literally, you can't open an app, go to a conference, have a phone call without AI coming up. And what we've been hearing from especially health systems and healthcare organizations is a whole lot of conversation about efficiency and automation. and not a lot of conversation about doing brand new, novel, innovative things that have never been done before. So we categorize that as sort of this Edison approach, which is take the existing light bulb, make it better, smarter, faster, scalable, create the ecosystem around the light bulb, make it go, you know, to scale globally. That's Edison, that's iteration, that's taking existing marketing and automating it effectively, making it more efficient. That's what everybody's focused on with AI. What we're talking about today is what we call Einstein thinking, which is, what if we rode alongside a light beam? So asking these really wild questions and thinking, what if there was no such thing as a website for your health system? What if there were no campaigns? That's what we talked about last time. So today, yes, we are going to put our futurist hat on, which, Chris, you are the futurist du jour.
Is it made of tinfoil?
Is that a UFO reference?
No, well, maybe. But I wish I had tinfoil with me. I usually carry it with me wherever I go, but for some reason I don't have it. I could craft a tinfoil hat. But this isn't tinfoil thinking.
No.
This is Einstein thinking. It's very different.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I don't know if Einstein wore a hat. not a tinfoil one. So one thing I love is, you know, as we've dug into Joe Public 2030 a lot, Joe Public 2030, of course, shares this sort of what if scenarios, what might happen in 2030 and beyond. And so this is kind of building upon that and saying, now, given all that we've discussed in AI and seen over the last year, let's now transport into 2030 and beyond and imagine if you woke up in 2030, 2032, and you are a chief marketing officer, what does your day look like? So that's the premise for our topic. I have a bunch of examples, but before that, anything you want to add, Chris, or any initial thoughts?
The only thing I'll say is this exercise, if done right, and this isn't an exercise, we're just going to talk through some ideas. You kind of have to put aside all the practical challenges that may pop into your head, because they will pop into your head. You're like, well, wait a second, how is that going to work? And blah, 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 blah. This is, again, this isn't tinfoil thinking. This is thinking based on things we know or hear regarding the potential of AI, right? So a lot of this won't be things that are even possible today, but in 2 or 3 years will be. But you can't get stuck, at least in this kind of thinking, worrying about the practical aspects or maybe the negative implications of AI, which we covered in a prior podcast as well. This is about just dream what this will be. Because if we can come to some kind of collective dream, then we can work toward that dream, and dream in a positive way. There will be implications no matter what, right? So I'm not saying ignore those, but for this exercise, we will be ignoring that. We are not naive. We are just intentionally sticking to the vision.
Yes, exactly. Great. Really, really important setup. Okay, so I'll throw the first one out and maybe we can build on it and come up with others. But I like to think about the question you asked a couple weeks ago, Chris, was, hey, the word campaigns is probably outdated if you're transporting yourself into a true AI future. Like, why would we have these 3 month, 6 month programs or campaigns that run if we can have this always on algorithmic marketing brain? So imagine it's, you know, 8 a.m., on, I don't know, September 19th, 2031. And you're a chief marketing officer.
Oof.
And yeah, after your morning workout, you get a notification from your AI agent on your wearable of choice. And it basically says, hey, cardiology volume is declining. I already noticed this over the last few days, weeks. There's been a dip in scheduled procedures. So on your behalf, I went ahead, I scanned all this data for you. I scanned everything from market data to service line volume data to consumer data to your campaign data to even things like maybe voice search or market sentiment or all kinds of things. And based on this, I've already adjusted your always on program. Your cardiology, you know, always on messaging is completely updated. Everything is done. You don't have to do anything. You don't even have to approve it. Just wanted to let you know. And I also went ahead and doubled down on provider referral marketing because I noticed that there was a dip in referrals. And so I went ahead and changed that messaging as well. Stay tuned. And then, you know, all you're doing is saying like, cool, thanks. And now you're waiting for results, which is, hey, by the way, there was a new scheduled appointment here. There was a new scheduled appointment there. This is the forecast of downstream revenue. Your job then becomes merchandising that, talking about that, sharing that, kind of just weighing in. Chris, what's your take on that scenario?
So what's interesting is, like, I was going to add to your list of things that would do. I don't even know how much you would have to socialize or communicate it, because part of my job as AI agent will be to let the head of cardiology know that we've done this, and to let the service line leader know, and to let the CFO know, and to let the schedulers know that there may be more volume coming because we're going to turn up the knobs in this way or that way. So then you got to wonder, like, what is that person then doing? Well, so again, like, don't worry about the marketer who's like, cool, I just get to take the morning off, right? To me, that just seems completely feasible, right? I do think it is Einstein thinking, because it's so removed from where we're at today. But I also think that that's completely doable. And I think of I'm going completely against what I said. I can hear somebody say as an objection, well, wait a second, like, I don't want some AI bot just putting stuff out in the market for us. Like, I need to approve all that. And like we talked before, the new approval will be performance. And this all assumes that you have trained your AI in your brand standards, your brand voice, your brand messaging. And it almost doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, right? Like, you don't need to see it, because what difference does it make if the end result is more cardiology patients that you're looking for, right? So that leads to bigger questions, like, what does brand mean in 3 or 4 years? But I don't have anything to add other than, how do we make that happen? Because I just think that that is, and imagine that's not, like, you just took a campaign and broke it down related to cardiology. The point here is that would happen across everything that you do. Everywhere that you're allocating resources, essentially, and maybe even beyond that. So you may be like, hey, we have 15 service lines. We can only allocate funding to 10 of them or 5 of them. But the AI may say, like, boy, you're really missing an opportunity over here. I know we don't have anything. And maybe the AI is not going to spend the money for you. But they may say, like, I really recommend that you take 20% away from this and give it over here. So it would be holistic, all-encompassing, just machinery working. I think that's going to come someday.
I think so too. And I think this is probably the closest and the most realistic, well, the most close to where we are today of our examples that we'll share. But just to build on what you're saying, like, the marketer's job then is to then kind of orchestrate this thing to basically say, you know, what would be really cool now is if we could actually incorporate, you know, capacity, like we talked last time about, are you full and what does that mean? And so now how do we incorporate in capacity and have it actually pull different levers and shift and say, cardiology is full. Now I'm going to go over here. And then it's like, okay, now how do I get new kinds of data? What could I incorporate? You know, this is maybe a silly example, but like, are there patterns in like weather that lead to people needing certain services? That's a silly example, but what is all the data that could, that's the marketer's job, is to say, let's add this in and test it. And then I think their job becomes FaceTime, because even if you're getting a notification and the cardiology lead is getting a notification, you might not be reading it the same way. So sit down with the cardiology lead and talk it through and be like, what else could we do? I think that's the job. And I think that's far more interesting than the current marketing job.
I totally agree. I think, like, again, if performance is the approval and you're just, you know, you're increasing volumes by 20%, what do you need to be doing? Can't you just kick back? Well, there's a few things. One, you just mentioned it. You know, you're still going to want somebody that knows the ultimate goal besides AI to oversee those results and make sure they are the results that you were asking for. Also, all machinery breaks down. All machinery has flaws. There's no perfect machinery. So monitoring, like, what's going on? Like, why are we not getting the results we're supposed to be getting? Is that the content, the messaging, the algorithm, is AI trained wrong, right? Like, that's going to be probably nonstop, because there is no place where this just ends and we're just like, okay, it's the AI 3000 and that's what we're going to have. And so it's just going to be set to, well, we got to calibrate it, right? So off it goes, and never shall we need somebody. there'll be the AI 3000 plus and the AI 3200 and blah, 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 blah. So it will be kind of oversight of what's not working and what is working. And that I think is going to have to stay human for quite some time. But that, to your point, is very different than spending all of the time developing, all the effort getting the stuff out, all of the approvals, all of the data, just like, and think of all that we do now in that regard, and we still don't know whether it's working or not. So like, it's hard to argue that like, oh boy, if this was set up right, it was delivering results, or I want to, you know, I don't know if we want that. Well, yeah, we do. Because compared to where it is now and all the rounds of approval, just to get an ad out that you hope does something. Yeah. So super cool.
It is.
Go Einstein.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm going to go to the next. I'm going to jump to one that's maybe a little more sci-fi-y. So now let's say, you know, now you're, okay, you just had that notification. Now you're sitting down for a breakfast meeting, perhaps, with a person on your team whose role is the narrative architect. This is a role that didn't exist in 2025. Sounds really fancy. But what this person is doing is they're training a set of, we'll call them recovery avatars. These are automated video guides that are really improving patient communication. So painting the picture, you're a patient, you're in the hospital, there's so much communication hitting you all the time, right? And it's like the doctor's talking to you about things you're maybe not even really realizing exactly what they're saying because it's just you're not in the right mind space to receive the information. Maybe you're sent home with a brochure, maybe you're getting, you know, the takeaway information, your caregiver's there trying to capture it. The communication issue is a challenge for patients. So what if there were recovery avatars and they're sort of like your own digital little care guide? They adjust based on your diagnosis, based on your procedure, based on your health literacy, your language preferences. They talk to you how you want to be talked to. You can pull them up anytime, anywhere along your care journey. And they're kind of translating all of your data, all of your situation into the right language for you. And you can, they're an avatar. You could name them. So that's a little sci-fi, but I think that's an example of something that could solve a real patient problem.
But yeah, I mean, we covered some of this a little bit in Joe Public 20 in the Copernican Consumer, and the idea of digital twins that already exist from a clinical standpoint. Again, I feel like some people are already in a place that they're leveraging AI, not to this degree, but it's just a matter of time before these things are so powerful that they are able to represent you in that way. And again, like, I don't know that, like, this is just an interesting question. If all of that is true, why would we need marketing? Right, because marketing's job is to connect a buyer to a seller for a need, and its purpose is to drive revenue for an organization. It is, whether you like to hear that or not. Even in healthcare, that's what its job is. But if the need is clinical need, and we are able to be completely tapped into the physical, mental, emotional needs of patients on a real-time basis, what are we marketing to them for? Well, we're just going to know when they need something. They're going to know when they need something, and they're going to be able to act on that something. We're not going to have to like blanket them with advertising saying, hey, you're a 50-year-old man. You should go get a colonoscopy. Hey, we've determined that there's something going on. You should go get a colonoscopy based on all the data we have, right? So, do we need marketing? Maybe that's more than 2 or 3 years out, but just call into question.
Well, I think this ties into the future of the CMO work, which says there's a real opportunity to expand the role of marketing. I mean, if hopefully not, but if anybody is still defining marketing as just ad campaigns, that's not going to really be, you know, as high of a need. But what is really interesting is to say, how do we shape the patient experience? How do we shape the whole patient journey? How do we, to your point about brand, how do we make this brand, this living, breathing thing that's personalized to everybody anywhere they are, whether they're in the hospital, whether they're outside the hospital, whether they're in their car, like whatever their health need is, we show up in a way that connects them with what they need. You know, to me, that I think there's a real case for the scope of marketing broadening very dramatically in this era.
Yeah, it's just a super interesting question because it gets to the, like, what is marketing's intent? So, and I think brand is the same way. Like, it's funny because I'm the one who's the first to say, like, all these brand is dead, you know, it's kind of things that come up every 5 or 10 years. I'm like, brand's not dead. People still need brand. Brand, they need brand primarily because you need a shortcut. You cannot make a decision on every item in the grocery store and research it. You will lay down and curl up in the fetal position if you had to go through all that decision-making process. But what if somebody can do it for you? What if AI could do it for you? Right? And then, so we talked about last time, we talked about emotional brand versus transactional brand. What if brand becomes pure transactional because your AI bot's just like, look, if you need X, this is the best choice for X. And with my permission given to them, they're just going to get me what I need, right? And I may have to approve a spending level over a certain amount or whatever, but let's Starbucks. We talked about Starbucks before. If I want coffee, do I need the emotional connection to Starbucks, or is my AI bot going to be like, coffee's on its way? And I don't even have to go get it. It just brought to me. So it is super interesting to think of all that kind of stuff, the future of brand and marketing, because it could go either way.
Yeah. Yeah, it could. It could. And both of those are viable, right? Both of those are viable, which is like, hey, I have a symptom. I need it instantly solved with all the data that knows me and knows what I need and knows where I am and all that. That's a viable path. The other viable path is, you know, to be clear, we are still, you know, in the business of health, and there's so much emotionality around that. And how would you create a brand that is creating this personalized, true health, you know, kind of content and experience and all of that? So I think there's paths. Both paths are viable. It's more about what does your brand stand for? Okay, let's go to, maybe we have time for one more little storytelling example. Gosh, there's so many here we could pull from. You said digital twin, Chris, so I'm going to go down that path. So back to the data realm. So imagine, I don't know, now it's the afternoon. You're the same chief marketing officer. Now you're walking into a C-suite leadership meeting. And together you're sitting down and you're reviewing this digital twin of your organization. So the digital twin is capturing all kinds of interesting data, clinical data, financial data, behavior dynamics, and it's forecasting if we did X, our market share would be this, our volume would be that, our contribution margin would be that, all kinds of key metrics. So we already have this in a sense, and not maybe we don't call that a digital twin, but we have a lot of data clinically and operationally that is already leveraged, right? That's there. I'm talking about if everything was connected, if you had emotional data around, to your point, your patients and how they were experiencing things, if you had market data, if you had all the marketing data, if you have everything really tied in, what does that digital twin of an organization look like? And then how could you, I'm calling this emotional triage, like activate the people, the robots, the systems you need to go maybe make changes on the fly if you see something that's off, and you could do that in real time. You could, let's say that maybe the leading indicators for patient satisfaction, things that you've identified as leading indicators towards negative HSCAP scores, are starting to trend down in your digital twin. You could pull all these levers to go fix that. I'll just pause there.
Yeah, that's, I kept wanting to go like beep, boop, boop, beep, 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 boop while you were talking. Because I just imagine this howl, like, you know, contraption somewhere that's got all the answers and speaks to you and says like, hey, you got a problem in the west wing of the hospital in rooms 22 through 24 because the nurse is having a bad day, and it's actually real time impacting patients and how they're feeling, and we know all this, so what do you better act on that, right? So yeah, woof. It's just, I don't know. People probably think we do have tinfoil hats on.
Probably too.
Because they're like, I can't even like get my ChatGPT to give me a press release without having to edit or whatever. But it's just really a matter of data processing power.
Yeah.
It really is. Whether you think they're thinking or not, I always laugh at these, you know, like I think Apple put out something and somebody else, but like, oh, this here's research that shows AI isn't thinking. I'm like, you're missing the point. Like, you're missing the point. Like, you know, nobody's suggesting right now that they're sentient. They're not sentient beings. But you know what? All we are molecules. Let's be honest. Our brain is full of molecules. So what is sentience? And so it's almost a moot point to get stuck on this. Oh, they're not really thinking. If they're doing the same things that we can do, what difference does it make whether you call it thinking or not? So that's the other side of it, is it's just a matter of when to me. And so that's a digital twin for your organization is, why would you have just one? So yeah. There's a probing question. Why wouldn't you have like one for this area, one for that area, or each market's different, or it's down to the individual human that's different. It just blows your mind, just like Einstein. Like, I still have a trouble with Einstein's thinking. Like, the idea that the universe is expanding, right? This is common stuff, but okay, it's expanding from what? And what's it expanding into? And what's beyond where its greatest limit is? Like, what? It just, your brain can't figure it out. So I don't know. It's exciting. I think that's all exciting stuff to think about, but
yeah,
I can that's you and me. Like, we could just do this all day. There are other people who are probably just like practically like, yeah, whatever. I'll believe it when I see it kind of stuff, which is fair.
Yeah. And then that makes, I love that you bring that up, that point, because then that makes me, maybe we can wrap on like the, what do you do today? Because it's, we could whiteboard all these random scenarios. And I do love, you know, the doing that. And I think that's really, really, really important, because you have to get into that thinking. And that's what we'll be doing at, you know, all kinds of events and podcast episodes we have coming up. But I have to go back to what do we do today. And I think that the bet to place is to say, if I am a marketing and communications leader, I need to make sure that I am wrangling as much data as possible, that I am thinking about the future of the CMO report and how do I become the voice of the market, and therefore what market data can I go capture? And how do I connect that to my other marketing data? And how do we make sure that my people understand, number one, what's possible with AI today, that they're thinking about what's possible tomorrow, that we're upskilling our people in terms of data privacy, that we're upskilling our people in terms of compliance, and that we're beginning to build little experiments, small as they may be, to get to this wild vision. And we may never get to the true digital twin of the organization, and that's okay. The point is to say, we have to do those small things today in order to, you know, at least have a competitive advantage over those that are moving in this direction.
Or just as importantly, to better serve the people that were targeting. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whew.
I feel like I need to lay down.
Okay. Well, good. The mission
accomplished. Brain is tired.
Okay.
My brain is tired from that.
Good.
Yeah. I just need like something simple to do. I need some Legos or some crayons.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a great weekend activity. There's your weekend plans. Yeah.
Yes. So I will just say, I saw something, I can't believe it's true, but it sure looked true. The Lego kits these days, if you don't have kids or you're not a Lego fan, are ridiculously intricate, expensive, like it's a whole thing. And I saw one that was the meth camper from Breaking Bad.
No.
Yes.
Yes, this is real?
Well, I couldn't tell if it was a kit or somebody built it. It looked like it was a kit, but there's no way Lego puts out a...
Oh, it's at Walmart. I just Googled Breaking Bad RV model building set at Walmart for $29.99.
Shut up. It's an actual kit?
Yes.
They're selling that?
It's on Walmart.com. It's unbranded. It's not Lego.
Oh, there you go. I'm like, what in the world? Okay, thank God.
Where did you see this? Is this on... This would be on Reddit for normally.
Well, it wasn't Reddit. It was where you would expect it. But
TikTok.
That's the kind of thing that would actually snap my brain.
Okay.
The fact that Walmart's selling is maybe still brain snapping. But if Lego was like... You know what would be great? If we created a Lego kit that was of Breaking Bad, of the van where they made methamphetamine.
Gosh.
How is Walmart even selling that? I wonder whether you're seeing a...
Because Walmart, just like Amazon, can't quite get their arms around their, you know, they went in the direction of anybody can sell products type of marketplace,
oh,
and then they can't get their arms around it. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm glad we're ending on a not safe for work conversation. I love when we end there.
Why isn't that safe? I think we're saying clearly meth is bad. I think that's our message. I guess that's a good message. Definitely.
Yeah, I guess there was a governmental program about that, you know, in the 80s that, yeah. So I guess it's a mass media message. All right. Yeah. We'll wrap there.
Be careful. Be careful what you get your kids for the holidays.
Ooh, I can't wait to talk about trending toys for holidays. I'm putting my money on Labubus. I'm already buying an 8-year-old niece a Labubu, and I cannot wait. I'm so excited. So maybe that's a future discussion.
I'm old and have no idea what
Chris.
Is it little boo boo, like
no,
L-I-L-apostrophe?
Chris.
No.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I'll look it up.
Okay.
I don't have kids. So I'm sorry.
Okay. We'll start next time.
Educate me next time.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So
I don't even know how to spell it. So I'm going to go research it on Reddit if you give me the spelling later.
There you go. Okay. Perfect. Two homework assignments in one. With that, we're going to wrap here. So thanks for everybody for joining. Thanks for venturing with us into the future with tinfoil hats on and ending with Lego conversation. That is no normal. That's what we're here to do. We're here to go beyond the normal. We're here to go beyond the usual, to go beyond your typical service line marketing and think bigger and broader. So with that, we charge you with not being satisfied with the normal, with pushing it, and join us next week for a Labubu conversation.
Beep, boop, boop, bye.
3, 2, 1. Here we go.